The Larcher, a novel by J.J. Amies, narrated by Jill DeVilliers and Jean Phillips. One.
Haswell Hospice, 2016. Day one. It was the sea she heard first. Most mornings, that was the only sound she was aware of. Waves softly splashing onto the long stretch of shingle. The slight hissing as the sea receded. Then again, the comforting splash. It would be filling the rock pools and then pulling back, leaving small crabs and limpets briefly exposed, the fronds and thicker strands of seaweed waving bereft, then blessedly covered with the next inrush of tide. Some mornings, though, the waves would come in roaring and insistent, crashing against the promenade and driving spray as far as the stone walls of the nearby gardens. The beach steps would be under water, the changing shelters flooded. The tiny inlets and caves under the cliffs would be revealed, mysterious and dangerous, but just as suddenly filled again with foaming waves. But then she was pulled away, away from the sea and back into the present. Oh, of course she understood them when they said, "Morning, Jean. How are we today?" "Oh, talking about the sea again? You're miles from any sea, don't you worry about that." And so on, and interminably on. If only they wouldn't try so hard. Trying to centre her in the present when all she wanted was to shed that reality and find her way back to the rock pools, the long promenade with the tennis courts at one end, the ice cream parlour at the other, the moor, the church on the point, and the whole village nestling behind. She wanted what they were struggling to prevent, to be adrift, to be all at sea, her own sea, and somewhere there, she'd find her first and best of friends. Still the name wouldn't come. It skittered away before she could grasp it, be sure of it, and say it aloud. She'd try harder tomorrow. She knew it would happen. And she knew it would happen soon. But it didn't. No matter how long and how patiently she waited, even when she felt so close, she was sure she could smell the sea. Could imagine the salty tang of the spray clinging to her skin and hair. She was meant to be back there. Surely it was time. Except they were terribly good at anchoring her here. That was their job, after all, and they did it with determination as well as kindness and sensitivity. Perhaps if her words would come back and she could try to explain her own determination to break free. But no, she told herself. They wouldn't understand, and even if they did, they couldn't allow it. They would tether her to her present life for as long as they could. At least the medication they gave her was a blessing, helping her to relax and drift off into her world of memory. And the reading helped. She couldn't read for herself any more. The words danced around the page. That was on a good day when she managed to hold a book in her stiff hands. But the nursing staff tried to make time in the day to read a chapter, or at least a few pages of a novel, sometimes a story in a magazine. At the moment it was a strange story about a small girl with a very big imagination, but they'd only just started it, so she knew little beyond that. The nurse doing the reading had been really pleased with herself when she'd produced it, saying, "I think you'll enjoy this, Jean. It's about the 1950s, when you were little. I've never heard of the woman who wrote it. The book cover says she's American, but grew up somewhere in England. Not round here, though, from the bit I've read. It's supposed to be based on her childhood." She'd been called away just after she began, promising to make up for it next time. Would that be today, she wondered. She hoped so.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?